Hello, this is David McGilvery on Wednesday, the 1st of August. Just talking again about the live site phenomenon as it's been affecting the Olympics in terms of some of the research we've been conducting with Matt Frew and Jennifer Jones. Just wanted to reflect a little bit today upon the experience of probably the largest free event that we're going to see during the Olympics. You know, clearly we had the athletes doing the cycling on earlier in the week, where we had mass audiences out on the streets in Surrey, but also in London, to welcome the cyclists through as they completed their race. And I think from that, there's a real phenomenon started about the idea that, you know, these are free events. People could go there, participate in the event. Very much a contrast, I think, with the kind of empty seats debate, which has been happening in the venues. So the official venues where people are clearly being ticketed, looking to buy tickets for some time, those venues have been, you know, sometimes quite empty at different points. Whereas when you look at the cycling races and the way in which they are held all over the parts of the southeast and including London, then you see a very positive vibe about that. And just today, I've been looking at some of the mainstream media coverage of that, and we've heard that, you know, for the Bradley Wiggins time trial victory, you know, we've had something like 300,000 people estimated to be on the streets of the southeast of England to try and experience that. And just hearing some of the tidbits and the sound bites from children, parents, others on the street talking about how they could get so close to the athletes, you know, it was a great atmosphere, it was very relaxed stewarding, you know, I think there's something really interesting here when we look at the idea of the live sites and how we've been arguing that they're quite contained, quite bounded, very security conscious. You walk in and it's a kind of consumer's haven where you can only buy certain products, and you can, and that contributes to the kind of the coffers of the IOC and also to the coffers, I guess, of the sponsors that that are the sponsoring partners for those live sites. Contrast that with the events that are quite open and free and really generating real excitement. And I think you have to look at whether there's an opportunity to revisit, rethink the way in which some Olympic events, you know, and some events out with Olympics, you know, World Cup and others, can be opened up to a wider public, can interact with, I guess, the venue in a much wider sense. We could talk about the venue being London and its streetscape in a way in which perhaps, like a carnival, where we see a very tight relationship between spectatorship and participation. And I think for some events, you can see that being more successful. And I think that does open up the possibility that maybe the detached, objective watch and passively consume the Olympics via even a public screen, which some of those have not been that well attended, may not necessarily be the future. So I think it's just interesting to keep looking at the kind of events that do come out and, you know, participate in the streets to see about how successful they've been.